May God's grace, His peace, His great mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the Lamb. Amen. Our text today for the sermon is the Gospel from John 1. Join me in prayer. Gracious Lord, we pray that you would plant the seed of your word in our hearts today and cause it to grow and bring forth abundant fruit in us, faith and love and joy and peace and hope. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. As we have now begun this new year, 2011, there are no doubt a lot of very important questions that people ask about a new year. Questions about the world, first of all. Big questions like, what's going to happen in Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, North Korea? Is it going to be more war? What's going to happen with all that terrorism? Ever going to stop? What can we do about it? We also just came to the one-year anniversary of the great earthquake in Haiti. Over 300,000 people killed, all these destitute people still. And they're all over the world, not just Haiti. We might ask as a church, what can we do about all the suffering, sick, diseased, hurting people, homeless people? What can we do about all that? It's a big, big problem in the world as you look at all the scenes of poverty and despair. In the United States, we ask questions like, what about the economy? Because we're greedy, we're worried about that. When's the economy going to bounce back? What about health care? What's going to happen with health care? Are the Republicans and Democrats ever going to really get along and really accomplish anything, we might ask? Here in Knoxville, we might simply ask the question, is it ever going to stop snowing? Are we going to ever go back to school for a whole week? And the kids say, hope not, right? And there's many other important questions that might be on our hearts and minds. In the gospel today, in the gospel we have, I suggest, the most important question we could ever ask. It's a question to Jesus. It's right there, and it is asked by Andrew and John. And what do they ask Jesus? This is the question. Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Little detail of the gospel you might not even think about. This is the question of questions always in life. Where are you, Jesus? Where are you staying? Where are you going to make your home? Where are you going to remain so that I can be with you and have your forgiveness and be saved from this wretched world where we have all these problems and questions? Where are you, Jesus? Where are you going to make your home? That is the question that we ever ask. And we need to know the answer. This question has parallels to the first question, really, of the Bible in Genesis chapter 3. This is the first question that's asked of Jesus here in John's Gospel, John 1 we're in. Go back to Genesis 3, and what's the first question? It's asked by God, and God asks Adam and Eve, where are you? They have just sinned, and God asks them, where are you? And what's the answer? They're lost in sin. They're lost now. They're ruined, and they're going to remain there unless God does something. That's where we are. Where are we? We're lost in sin, and we remain there stuck. And now the New Testament. And the Son of God comes to earth. The Son of God is here. And now the question we ask of Him, where are you, Rabbi? Where are you going to make your home? Where are you going to stay? The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, teach us where Jesus stays. And they teach us that Jesus, number one, does not stay away. Jesus does not stay away from us. He doesn't stay out there somewhere because we're so wicked and evil. He doesn't want to be contaminated by us. He doesn't stay away and keep his distance. Jesus is not a Pharisee. I imagine many of the Jews felt that when the Messiah came, when the Christ would come, he'd be like a Pharisee. The Pharisees were the elite believers, supposedly, of that day. They obeyed the law, supposedly, although they didn't, they were hypocrites. They were holy, they were pure, they obeyed the law. They were educated. And the Pharisees stayed away from sinful people. They stayed away from the Gentiles. They stayed away from the Samaritans. And any sinner, they would stay away and look down on them, like, stay away, stay out there somewhere. And that was the Pharisee. There was actually a class of Pharisees called the Bruised and Bleeding Pharisees. And they took pride in being part of that class. The idea was that if a Pharisee saw a sinner, a Gentile, a Samaritan, some awful person walking down the road, especially if it was a woman, they wouldn't want to lust after her or look at her wrongly. They would close their eyes and turn their head, and they might run into something, closing their eyes, and thus get a bruise or begin to bleed. So being bruised and bleeding was a sign of their holiness. What hypocrites. We don't have a bruised and bleeding Pharisee in Jesus. We have a bruised and bleeding lamb. A lamb who doesn't stay away from the sins of the world. A lamb who takes away the sins of the world. When Andrew and John, these two humble fishermen, ask him, "Where are you staying?" He does not say, "Get away, I'm not going to stay with you guys, you bums. Get out of here, leave me alone." He doesn't say that. I'm pure, get away. He says, "Come, I will show you." That word, come. And you can imagine the Lord, arms out, cross, come. In that one word is all the absolution of heaven. And all the grace and mercy of the Almighty God for a sinner. That He would say to you and I, come. Anybody at the door to kick you out today? You're too dirty and sinful? Anybody here saying, can't have the body and blood, get out. We don't want you. You're not good enough. We say in the liturgy, beloved in the Lord, let us draw near. Come. We also learn in the four Gospels that Jesus not only doesn't stay away out there, He doesn't stay above and beyond and over us either. He doesn't stay up there somewhere. He isn't a great tyrant or dictator who just brings new laws and new rules that we're supposed to follow, and then the great tyrant who would punish all the evildoers who can't do them. What good would that do? What good would it do if Jesus brought new laws? We can't obey the ones He's already given us, let alone give us more. He is not the great king on high who just condemns sinners and blasts them and sends them all to hell. And this also is part of Jewish thought in that day. They thought the Messiah perhaps would be like a new Moses. Moses who would bring down new commandments from on high. Follow these now. Moses who would bring plagues upon all the evildoers, like He brought plagues upon Egypt. Bringing water and floods and gnats and boils and fire and condemn all the bad guys out there. Or He'd be like a new King David or Solomon, getting rid of all the bad guys, get rid of all of them. That's not Jesus. He's not staying up there over us with an iron fist. Jesus is King, friend. He is King and Lord, King of the whole world. But Jesus didn't bring any new laws. He simply said, love God and love your neighbor. Let's get our minds off the law. It's not going to save us anyway. Jesus didn't come and blast anybody. He didn't call down fire on anybody. He was tempted to do that. He didn't call fire down on anybody. Rather, He took the fire upon Himself at the cross. Jesus is not the Lion of God who makes us pay for the sins of the world. But He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Where is Jesus, the Son of God, going to stay? Where is He going to make His home? He does not stay away out there. He doesn't stay over us up there, unapproachable. But where does Jesus stay? He stays right here with sinful people. That's what Andrew and John are going to behold. How the holy Son of God will stay and remain with sinners. He won't cut and run. All right, I'm here a few days. I don't like this place. I'm leaving. He will not forsake us, leave us, become impatient with us because we're so awful. He will remain and stay all the way into eternity. It's His promise. He is faithful. When you read the Gospels, Jesus doesn't have a home. He Himself says that I have nowhere to lay my head. He travels in Galilee, village to village, city to city. In Samaria, He goes, He shouldn't go there, but He goes there too. There's sinners there too. Judea, Jerusalem, city to city, town to town. He has nowhere to lay His head. No city He calls His own. No home, physical home. But one thing is constant. Read your Gospels. One thing is constant. Where do you find Jesus? You find Jesus with sinful people. That's where he stays. You find him with tax collectors. He even eats with them. These liars and cheaters. You find him with prostitutes. He allows them to wash his feet. Wow. You find him with a Samaritan woman at the well, all by herself with guilt. You find him there. You find him with lepers, the sick, the diseased. You find him with the demon-possessed. Who'd be around them? And you find him with the dead. For he even touches and raises the dead. He's with sinners. Where's Jesus, you ask? He's with sinners somewhere. Because he loves us. And he won't leave us. And for sinners, he goes to Calvary's cross. And there he remains too. Where is he going to stay? He's going to stay on the cross for 6 hours. He does not jump down like they tempted him to do. Come down, we'll believe it. He stays up there. He remains up on a cross with nails and thorns. He remains for 6 hours. That's what Andrew and John see. And then he rises from the dead. And after his resurrection, where does he go? Right after his resurrection, where does he go? Again with sinful people. He comes to Mary Magdalene and reveals himself. He goes to all the scared disciples in the upper room. All those that deserted him. Peter denied him 3 times. He goes to them and says, peace be with you. Touch my wounds. Then the next week he comes to Thomas, who doubted. One lousy doubter. He comes to him too. Then he sends the Holy Spirit 50 days later. And the Spirit, in the Spirit, he's now at the church. He gives us his word, his sacrament. He's with us today. Christ is with us, say it. Christ is with us. Where does he stay? With us. And he's not going to leave. You might leave him. You're an utter fool if you do, but you might. He won't leave you. He loves you. Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Here with his word and sacrament with forgiveness of sin. You know, I've been a pastor 20-some years, and I drive over in the morning for church or Wednesday for church. And occasionally you wonder if certain people are going to show up. Is the strained member that I invited to come back to church, are they going to be there? Will I see them? You never know. Will the visitor come back that maybe came? Will I see him again, or will they go somewhere else? You ask questions like that. Will the acolytes come? Pat worries about that a little too much. Will the ushers show up? They're always here. We have great ushers. If it's snowing, will Ed be here? Can we have church without Ed? Come on. Will the choir be able to come if we have all the snow? Who's going to be here? One thing I never ask is, will Jesus be here? You ever ask that? Will Jesus show up? He's here saying your sins are forgiven. This is my body. This is my blood. I love you. You're my children. I'm the Lamb who's taken away all your sins. I never doubt whether he'll be here. And as he stays with sinners, as he stays with the church, to conclude, there are two things he does. First of all, he challenges, and secondly, he changes. He challenges us always, confronts us. Notice how he confronts Andrew and John. They begin to follow. And what's Christ say? He says, what do you want? What are you seeking, guys? That's ever his challenge to... He confronts our intentions today. Why are you here? He pierces the heart as that arrow in the Old Testament reading. He pierces. What are you doing here? Are you here to show off? Is that why you're here? You here because you have to be here to please somebody? Are you here to look good to everybody? Are you here to get brownie points with God, thinking you're earning... Are you a Pharisee? Self-righteous? Is that why you're here? All dressed up and looking nice? Is that really what you're doing here? You're here to listen to our great choir and organist? Is that why you're here? Why are you really here? What do you want? He confronts. You're going to get on your knees and say, Lord, have mercy? Is it all a big show for you? And then he changes lives. Notice how Andrew's life has changed. He spends that day with Jesus. We're not sure what happened. Jesus no doubt teaches Andrew and John that he's the Christ. And then Andrew does what? He runs out and finds Peter. We found the Messiah, the Christ. Come. He brings Peter to Jesus. Andrew's a changed man. He's been forgiven of his sins. He has faith. He has hope, joy, and peace. He's a changed man. Oh, spending one day with Jesus. Let alone think if you spend all your life with him, how you change. Are we tired of hearing of Ted Williams? You know who Ted Williams is? The homeless guy who is now in Hollywood. He's been all over the place. The homeless man who is now in Hollywood, a changed life. And how did his life change? Because he has a golden voice. They found out he has this great voice, and now he's doing radio spots and TV spots with his great voice. Who wants to go to Hollywood anyway? We are changed people because of Christ and baptism. Not because of our golden voice, but because of the golden voice of our God. It's His golden voice that says, you're forgiven, you're saved, you're redeemed, you're my children. And that voice changes everything. We go from being lost to found, from being dead to alive, from being nobodies to somebodies, from being sinners to saints, from being forsaken to being forgiven, from being those who deserve to go to hell to those that are now going to heaven. Now there's the change. A lot of questions you can ask about 2011, and they're important. Ponder. Where are you staying, Jesus? Where will you make your home? He does not stay away out there. He doesn't stay up there ruling over us with an iron fist. Where does He stay? Right here with us. To forgive us, help us, save us. Don't you dare ever take that for granted. Praise be to God, the Lamb. Who does what? The Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. Amen. Let's stand.